Hello, I'm Ben Eagle, and welcome to this episode of Meet the Farmers. Today I'm just off the M32, a few miles away from the centre of the city of Bristol. I've come to Elmtree Farm, which is a social enterprise and a care farm run by the Brandon Trust. It's a small working farm where they breed a variety of livestock, including cattle, sheep, pigs and chickens, and they also grow a wide range of fruit, vegetables, herbs and flowers. My host for the day is Keely Elvin, the farm manager here.
Elmtree Farm is based in the grounds of what used to be the Dower House, which is what I call the Big Yellow House on the M32. Brandon Trust is a charity which supports people with learning disabilities. I think the trust is just over 20 years old now.
Can you explain what care farming is?
We run as a farm, or quite a large small holding, I would say, being around 47 acres. We farm beef stock, we have chickens for eggs, and we have pigs for pork. So we're a working farm from that point of view. We have a market garden, but we don't do this all on our own. We support people with learning disabilities who attend the farm Monday to Friday. And whilst they are working with us, they get the benefits of health and emotional well-being. Some people come here from education point of view, they want to learn. Some people are looking to go on into employment, so we'll look at how we could support them with learning transferable skills.
How do you market your produce?
Mainly through Facebook and the website. Some of the events that we do are, again, part of the promotional. One of the benefits of being linked to a larger organisation is that we do have communications teams, so they also push any new produce that we have, and word of mouth, local community.
And you've got the farm shop on site. Mm-hmm. You also go to Bristol once a
That's
week.
That's right, yes. So we've been going there for the last 15 years, is the farmers market in Bristol at St Nicholas Market. All year round we're there as often as we possibly can be. And we have a lot of good, solid regulars. Thank you, regulars, by the way.
You're at the very tip here of what's known as Bristol's Blue Finger.
Yes.
Can you describe what that is?
It's basically prime growing land. We benefit from the fact that it has a kind of a natural strip of wildlife and a good soil that we can benefit from.
Can you tell me about your education work?
And I originally was employed here as a teacher of horticulture with what was then the MPTC and OCN courses. As funding changed, as we were a satellite of a college at the time and funding was cut, we stopped running those courses. What we have done, though, since is introduce our own internal training courses, so we've kept some of that structure to pass on that knowledge to others. Just at this moment, embarking on presenting sitting guilds courses again in life skills, which include all the practical elements. It's really nice for the people we support to have some recognition of their skills and ability. Just to get that certificate that says, I have achieved and I can do.
You have volunteering opportunities here. What opportunities are there? And if someone was interested, how could they get involved?
The volunteer list grows, if I'm honest. I could come up with a lot of volunteering opportunities. Always in the market garden, we would really love more people to help us grow. We have some people that come in and help out with the shop, you know, just doing the kind of weekly checks, making sure everything's labelled and so on. Anything practical we could do with some help. We've also been looking at things such as maybe we should set up a local volunteering group on the weekend. So maybe we should look for a volunteer that could coordinate that for us as well, you know. Yeah, the list is endless on what we could have people to volunteer for. The process is just to phone up and we can send out an application form and take it from there.
We were talking about policies and procedures earlier on. Mm-hmm. There must be lots of paperwork.
There is, and it's essential. At the end of the day, we are responsible for people and their safeguarding whilst they're here. But then we also have an enterprise which we're running, which again is a different set of procedures.
What's the best thing about your job?
It changes every day because there are always new challenges. There's always something new. It's an exciting job. Working with the group of people that we do, it does feel like one big team, and that team spirit that we get. And yeah, I think everybody feels valued. That makes a huge difference.
What are the big challenges that the farm is going to face in the coming years?
Funding cuts. Definitely, we are aware that funding is being squeezed. The aspirations of the people that we support and what they want to do against the money that's available, there's a big gap. So how as an organisation do we try and look at that? And it does come back to looking at how we fundraise, looking at how we get our volunteers in. What we don't want to say is, sorry, you can't have it. What we want to say is, yes, you can have it, but we've got to work in a different way to enable that to happen. when I first came, if we made some income from the flowers that we produced, that was great. But it wasn't going to hold the business up, let's say. You know, it was quite small. We're now realising that we actually have to start thinking about this enterprise in a much more business mind. The challenge there, again, is we don't want to not focus on the fact that we are a care provider. Ultimately, that's our priority.
How do you think care farming could be accounted for in a new British agricultural policy?
I think from our point of view, we are contributing. I think that's something that we're very proud of. We are now producing more quality food for the food chain. I think that that has to be supported. It's very important for our guys to know how they are making a meaningful difference to their local community as well. Having gone to the care farming conference, you realise that the care farms can range from small garden allotments almost to 500 acre farms that have a very small care farm. I think as funding's changed for learning disabilities, mental health and so on, and it's being realised that putting people in a room with colouring books and whatever that used to go on ages ago in institutes and so on, it just doesn't work. You end up with some very unhappy people. We know from experience the benefits that the outdoor environment has on health and well-being, and that needs to be celebrated more. And in which case, if that grows, if people are more willing to fund people to come to these kind of projects, they'll be more productive. So I think that's the way it should go.
Me with Sue, who manages the livestock on the farm.
I've been here 17 years. I started off with Grounds and Gardens and worked with them for about 10 years. And then it was always a big joke that when the old farmer was here, I'd take over when he retired. He retired and I took over. We built the beef stock up. And the main thing that's changed is that we now sell all the meat ourselves. We don't take anything to market if we can help it because we don't get the money for it. So we've got four breeding sows and one pet pig, and then we've got eight cows that are in calf, and we've got four beef stock for next year, and then we've got another four for the year after, and then we've got the chickens that we use just for eggs, and then we've got the ducks that is all used for eggs as well. The guys that have the education are taking more in depth with what's going on with the animals and what we need to do, because there's that bit more of understanding, whereas some of the other guys, it's just a basic lesson of what needs to happen, that they need water to survive, they need food to survive.
We're now pretty close to the M32. You can probably hear it in the background. So there's one, two, three, four polytunnels and a number of plots that are currently in fallow. Gilly, can you talk me a bit about this bit of the farm?
This is the market garden. We use organic methods to grow edibles. As you say, some of the plots are being overwintered, so we've just put Mypex over to kind of keep the weeds down. You can see up in the corner here, that's where we had pigs, and they cleared that.
It's very clear that the pigs are a key part.
We love our pigs.
Key part of the place.
Pigs are our diggers. You can see our lovely manure heap steaming away, most majestically there. And again, that's essential. If we have stuff come back from market that doesn't sell, fed to our animals, so it's that sustainable system.
Lisa's an occupational therapist in training on the farm, doing an internship here. When did you start and how did you get to know about the farm?
I actually Googled just learning disability, and then a Twitter post from the farm came up about the open farm day they had in summer, and this is how I learned about the farm. And I sent an email, and then it was actually a very quick process that Keely replied, and I could get started here. In September, actually, I came here.
And what do you do day to day?
I have one day in each department, so it's a big variety. Every day is different, and we are just helping the guys do the stuff.
So where do you think this is going to take you?
I actually can imagine working with people with learning disabilities and also working outside and doing something like farming. I'm also a writer, so something writing therapy, combining that. I have two more years to go, so not so sure yet.
One of the projects on the farm is a woodwork project called Splinters. I'm here with Fawn, who's been willing to tell me some more about it. What do you produce?
The stuff we produce is made from recycled pallet timber, and we do a variety of different making projects, from small little wooden Christmas trees to little trucks to small boxes, bird boxes, planters, quite a variety of different products. Some of the guys will then take home for their own personal use and satisfaction one of the products, and some surplus stock is then sold in our shop and the charity shops, which the Brandon Trust own as well.
So with Alan, who's working in the workshop, Alan, yeah. Can you let me know, tell me what you're doing at the moment?
This cleaning this thing up with all this paper, which was very smooth, and it's stuck in there, was like this.
So we do some upcycling projects. This is a dresser, a Welsh dresser, which we're going to sand down and then repaint in, you know, one of the latest trendy colours that are kind of quite fashionable at the moment. I think that this was brought in by a member of staff who will pay for this work to be done.
Yeah.
But we also take outside furniture. And you're fabulous at doing this part, aren't you, Alan?
Oh, yeah. Joiner. Jippy.
Alan is here due to a brain injury. So for many years, he was a carpenter. His wife approached us initially because he was very skilled, but not able to go back into employment. So by coming here, he can still use all those skills in that kind of safe environment, and there isn't that pressure of employment for himself. Okay, so this is the ornamental nursery where we grow pot plants, and these beds here are for cut flowers over the summer months. Obviously, this time of year is kind of quite quiet, so they'll do other things, smaller craft items. So they've dried flowers over the years, so they're making potpourri with them, making up some soaps and so on. So again, it's about making sure that they've got a plan in place to make sure that all year round we have meaningful activities. And so they will all be in this cabin here, making something, I suspect.
Let's go and meet them.
I'm Julie, and I'm project leader for the nursery. Our aim is to grow cottage garden flowers for picking and sending to market, British flowers, and also to use as many ways of reproducing flowers as we can. So we'll dig and divide, we sow from seed, we use corms and bulbs rather than buying in flowers. We want to give everybody the experience of how to do it from each division, seed, how that system works. The spring is very busy because it's all about pricking out and sowing out and getting things ready to grow. The summer is really all about maintenance, so it's all weed, water and pick. The autumn is all about division and getting the beds ready for preparation for the next season to grow. So it's about cutting down and mulching and digging up and dividing, preparing the pots to grow on for next year because they're a very good source of income for them. It's because we can, from one little pot, we can grow it for a year and end up with five pots to sell. So that's a good source of income for us. And then at Christmas, we get ready for wreath making and all the things to go in the shops. So you've got dried flowers, you've got your soaps and your bath bombs and all that sort of thing is what we do now. And then in the very early summer, because there's not so much to do in the garden, then we maintain the polytunnels, we wash them and clean them, maintain all the tools, cleaning them, oiling them, making sure they're all fit to work for the next year.
How many people do you have working and helping out in this particular part of the farm?
It's 29 and a half.
Well, 29 and a half. Soon to be 30, isn't it? We've got our last space will be sold in the next week or so once the contract has been sorted. But then as a nursery project, we are full to capacity at the moment because, as you can see, it's a very small cabin.
Yeah.
We also have to think that not everybody comes on their own. Some people, it's a group of 1-6 ratio, and some people need additional support on top of that, so we often have to have 1-to-1 support people in to help us out as well.
Coming here a long time. Yeah. Don't know how many years it was, do you?
No.
I can't remember either. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Many years.
Yeah.
Rich has here been coming in for about 8-9 years, What's your favourite thing to do on the farm? The pigs.
You love getting mucky, don't you, Rich?
Yeah.
It's your favourite.
Yeah.
Very clear, Keely. This is the real family atmosphere here. You're a real team.
There's a lot of enthusiasm. There's a lot of momentum here. How would you describe Elm Tree Farm?
I think that sums it up lovely as one big kind of family. It is one big team. I don't own this place, but I have ownership of it. I feel very responsible for it. I care about it. It's not a job. It's a real vocation. That comes across not just for myself, but from everybody. I think that's very evident when you start speaking to people. The passion that everyone has, you can't deny it, is there.
And if you'd like more information on Elm Tree Farm, visit their website, www.elmtreefarm.org. Or you can find them on Facebook by searching for Elm Tree Farm Bristol. To find out more about the Brandon Trust, visit www.brandontrust.org. This programme was presented and edited by Ben Eagle and mastered by Tom Bland for thinkingcountry.com.